Now there are a few remarks that I have to make about chapter 4 that I understand we have finished 27. Apparently, the last verse that we have covered in our last meeting together was verse 27. And we're going to end up going into it a little bit. Let me read a few verses into chapter 4. Verse 28 of chapter 4 to verse 36.
So we begin with reading. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the 12th month. He walked in the palace of his kingdom, the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake and he said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the words were in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken that the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat a grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou shalt know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men, and he did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagles' feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generations, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and my brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent and majesty was added unto me. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true and his ways are judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to obey.
And I want to pause here for a minute and just make a remark, and I'm going to go back a little bit into chapter 4. Now, we have been studying up to now the prophet Daniel, and we have been occupied so far, if you remember, chapter 1, we have dealt with the fact that Israel, our people, the Jewish people, have been taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar from Jerusalem, from the land of Israel, because of disobedience. The nation of Israel have been taken captive to Babylon. They have been in Babylon, we know, for 70 years. Now, of course, when we are studying the book of Daniel, in the period of time in which we are studying, we are still really in the time, in the period of time of the history of the people of Israel under the Babylonian captivity. They are still, if you will, by the end of chapter 4, under the, if you will, the leadership and authority of King Nebuchadnezzar. We have studied chapter 2, and we have learned from chapter 2 that God has shown Nebuchadnezzar a special dream, the image, if you remember, and it showed Nebuchadnezzar the history of the times of the Gentiles, which will begin with the king, with King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian, then the Medo-Persian, then the Grecians, ultimately the Romans, and then the revived Roman Empire, which eventually going to be devastated and ending by the second coming of the Messiah himself. We have studied that in chapter 2. Of course, when we went to chapter 3, if you remember, in chapter 3 we have had the interesting story of this image that Nebuchadnezzar built of gold, and he wanted everybody in the kingdom of Babylon to come and worship that particular image. But there were three Jewish boys who did not want to fall and worship this particular image. These boys are Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, normally known in the world, and those who read the scriptures usually by their Babylonian name, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But those three Hebrew boys, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, would not bow to King Nebuchadnezzar and to the image that he made. He threw them into the furnace fire, and there in the midst of the fire, we find out that one like the Son of Man had been with them, and they did not burn at all. And Nebuchadnezzar called them to come out, and surely they came out. There is nothing of their, any of the clothes or any of their body had been burned. They have come out alive because God had preserved these Jewish boys because of their faithfulness to the God of Israel. Then if you remember, we went to chapter 4, and because Nebuchadnezzar was such a proud man, God had to deal with Nebuchadnezzar. And God did deal with him. If you remember the story of chapter 4, which we almost covered the whole chapter, we didn't quite get to cover the rest of the ending of the chapter, and that's what I'm going to do right now. And you remember what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? He was so proud. He was walking in a palace in his kingdom in Babylon, and he said, "Is not this Babylon, this great Babylon, which I have made, I have built with my own hand, for my own self, for my own glory?" And because of his pride, God had to punish Nebuchadnezzar, and he surely did. He punished him tremendously. And you remember, if you just turn back to chapter 4 for a minute, and notice what we read in verse 27, and apparently that was the last portion that we have dealt with. In verse 27, Daniel said to the king, in chapter 4, in verse 27, he says, "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." You know, Daniel said to King Nebuchadnezzar, there is a solution to the problem. What was the solution to the problem? Thank you. What was the solution to the problem? King Nebuchadnezzar, you have to confess your sins, and you have to change your manner, to change your behavior. But you know what, beloved? Nebuchadnezzar did not change his behavior. And because he did not change his behavior, judgment came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. And if I'm not quite sure, because to my mind, I still think that we have covered it, but let me just give you verse 28 of chapter 4 to verse 36, the fulfillment of the judgment that fell upon Nebuchadnezzar comes about. Notice that in verse 28 to 30. First of all, notice the sin of Nebuchadnezzar. It says here, "And it came to pass," or I should say, and this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar, verse 29, "at the end of 12 months, he walked in his palace," the palace of the kingdom of Babylon, "and the king spake, and he said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom and by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." And so you see what we learn about King Nebuchadnezzar. The King Nebuchadnezzar really did not listen to the voice and to the counsel of Daniel. And so King Nebuchadnezzar, you notice it says here in verse 29, that at the end of 12 months, he walked in his palace, the palace of his kingdom in Babylon. In other words, 12 months passed, 1 year passed, and King Nebuchadnezzar, instead of listening to the counsel of Daniel, he was lofty and proud, and you know, he's looking at this great kingdom that he had built, the kingdom of Babylon, And he was looking around and he says here in verse 30, the king spake and he says, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power? For the honor of my majesty? You see, the pride that was in the heart of Nebuchadnezzar, it really caused him, in other words, it caused God to bring upon him a judgment that he deserved because of pride. And you know, dear brothers and sisters, one of the greatest problems that we have, that a human race has, is pride. Pride is that which we oftentimes cause us to stumble, to fall, to go astray. There are a lot of frictions and problems between individuals, between friends, between families, between brothers and sisters, and even between churches and those who belong to the Lord Jesus the Messiah. Because of pride, it brings about judgment and divisions, and God will resist the proud, but He's going to give grace to the humble. Well, Nebuchadnezzar did not humble himself, and he became extremely, extremely proud. And you know what he was looking, if you remember, and I think I did tell you that he was looking at the city of Babylon. And you remember what I said? The city of Babylon was about 15 miles square. It has walls so high, about 350 feet high. He had the width of the city, of the walls, was about 87 feet wide. And so you look at this city and you say, nobody's going to be able to take care of this city. This is what I have accomplished for myself, for my glory. Nobody's able to fight against this city. This city, this monument here in this world, is never going to end up, and I have built it for my glory by my power. Well, that pride that he could have looked at it and it was a great achievement. But instead of giving glory to God, instead of giving glory to the God who had given him all this, the God of Israel, Nebuchadnezzar was proud and he was occupied now with himself. And so now notice what happened. Verse 31 to verse 33, the judgment that fell upon King Nebuchadnezzar. While the words were in the king's mouth. You notice that? While he was saying it. Is not this great Babylon that I had built? While the words were in his mouth. It says here in verse 31 that the voice came from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee. Nebuchadnezzar, you can speak about this, you can be proud about the position that you have, about this great city that you have built, but Nebuchadnezzar, now God is saying to him, this kingdom has departed from thee. And notice verse 32, they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 years, or 7 times, shall pass over thee until that thou will know that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he giveth it to whomsoever he will. Do you know, beloved, you know, this is really the central verse of the book of Daniel, is in verse 32. Chapter 4, verse 32, is the central verse of the book of Daniel, that God is ruling in the kingdom of men, and he giveth the kingdom, or giveth the kingdom, to whomsoever he will. That's the theme of the book of Daniel. Everything, you know, everything that man has today had been given to him by God. You remember we made allusion a couple of times, we spoke about Saddam Hussein, which is today, we do not know where he is found today. He's running somewhere in Iraq. Maybe he's alive, maybe he's not alive. But about a year ago, or a year and a half, or 2 years ago, he was priding himself as the one that is in authority and in control over all the area. In fact, we have been told that he was going to emulate Nebuchadnezzar. He was going to take the rule of this world like Nebuchadnezzar was at that time. Well, beloved, we find out very quickly that Saddam Hussein is not around anymore to have the same power that he had. He's running and hiding somewhere, someplace, we do not know. Maybe he's not alive even today, we do not know. But the point that I'm trying to say, and I'm speaking for ourselves as well, that we all need to learn that everything that we have ultimately has been given to us by God. And everything that we possess and all that we have ultimately has been given us to God. And God resists pride and he gives grace to those who are humble. Also now the judgment came. First of all, the timing, verse 31, while he spoke. Secondly, notice the stating or the sentences being pronounced. Verse 32, they're going to drive you from in. Your dwelling place will be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass like oxen. And 7 years, or 7 times, as it says here in the book of Daniel, it always has a reference to years, shall pass over thee until you will know, King Nebuchadnezzar, that I am the one that ruling over the kingdom, the affairs of men. The timing will be while he spake, and the sentence is, can you imagine to be driven from him? His dwelling place will be with the beast of the field. And they shall make him to eat grass like an oxen. Can you imagine? That was the punishment that King Nebuchadnezzar was going to receive because of his pride. The very same king that had authority over so many people. Right now, the judgment of God was going to fall on him. And the sentence was pronounced. And you notice now in verse 33. Notice quickly, I'm going to read that as well. Verse 33. The same hour, the thing had been fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and he did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Now I cannot even fathom what it meant for King Nebuchadnezzar to experience such a thing. Can you imagine now, as it says here in verse 33, everything had been fulfilled. He had been driven away from men. He was no longer enjoying the company of people. And then it says that he did eat grass like oxen. And then it says that his body was wet with the dew of heaven. He did not have any more an indoor place to stay. He ended up living an outdoor life for 7 years. And finally it says his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. Question? No? Okay, I thought you had a question. Anyway, so what we learn from this that the judgment of God came upon Nebuchadnezzar and literally, he became like an animal living outdoors in the cold, in the wet, growing, if you will, for 7 years, growing his hair long, as it says here in verse 33, and his nails like bird's claws. He literally lived like an animal for 7 years. For 7 years. Now, quickly, notice what it says from verse 34 to verse 36. From verse 34 to verse 36, we see the restoration. We see the restoration. And then, first of all, notice, Nebuchadnezzar, his eyes lifted up to God, to heaven, in verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. My understanding returned unto me. I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honor him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Notice one thing that we find out immediately in the restoration. We find that Nebuchadnezzar now does not look at himself now, but it says here in verse 34, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. He was no longer occupied with himself now. He was occupied now with the God of heaven. His eyes were turned to heaven. And you know, he's no longer lifted himself in pride after 7 years of experience. He was no longer occupied with himself. It says here that his understanding returned to him And he, what did he do? He blessed the Most High, and he praised and he honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You notice what he does here? He does no longer speak about his kingdom, but he's speaking about the kingdom of God. He's no longer elevating himself, but he's elevating God, the Most High God. The change that has happened to the life of Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, many believe that by the time Nebuchadnezzar had experienced this 7 years experience, Nebuchadnezzar came to faith in the true and living God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Daniel. He came here by finally coming to realize, coming to the end of himself. He came truly to acknowledge the God of Daniel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he has blessed the Most High. He has honored and praised him. He has said, you live forever and ever. You are the one who possess dominion. You are the one who have an everlasting dominion. And you are the one that have a kingdom from generation to generation. Here there was a complete change in the life of King Nebuchadnezzar. And so, in verse 35, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? You see, he by now completely changed, and now he is acknowledging the God of Israel and giving him the honor that belongs to him. And so God has restored Nebuchadnezzar, and with this really, is really we believe that here Nebuchadnezzar came to faith in the true and living God, finally. Or he believed in the God of Daniel, but in other gods up to this point. He said to Daniel, Daniel, your God is a great God, and is a greater among many gods. But here we find out that he truly comes to recognize that there is only one God, and that is the God of Daniel. And so in verse 37, verse 36, he said, his kingdom, notice his kingdom returned to him in verse 36, at the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. See, here is the final restoration. God had been so gracious to Nebuchadnezzar that after the 7 years that he had gone and became like an animal living outdoors, living away from the human race, after the 7 years, God has restored him the kingdom. As it says here, he has given him everything. In fact, it says here in verse 36, that excellent majesty was added unto me. In other words, he received much more than what he had lost because of his pride. And there is a great, great lesson for us to learn from this chapter. God is going to deal with pride one way or another. And so the final verse of this chapter, because we want to go into chapter 5, in verse 37, the conclusion, the praise of the King of Heaven. A conclusion in verse 37 is threefold conclusion. Number one, notice it says in verse 37, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven. Notice, he's not occupying with himself as the King, but he's occupying himself with another King. And that King is the Lord from Heaven, the God of Heaven, the God of Daniel. All whose works are truth, his ways are judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase or to humble. Do you know that? So real, you know. Those that walk in pride, God is able to humble. God is able to humble those that walk in pride. Now, what is the lesson for us here in this chapter? And I'm going to challenge you, I'm going to challenge myself. How are we with our attitude on a day-to-day basis? Do we have pride in our own hearts? And if we do have pride in our own hearts, the question is that, do we need or we seek the Lord's help to confess our pride and to ask Him to give us humility and the proper attitude so we might be able to be used by the Lord as servants here in this world? I want to read two verses from the New Testament, please. Turn to the book of James first. James chapter 4. In the New Testament, a New Covenant, James chapter 4, verse 10. James was writing to Hebrew Christians in early century. Yaakov, his name James, in Hebrew we call him Yaakov. Yaakov was writing to first century Hebrew believers in the Messiah. And Yaakov wrote to them, James wrote to them, and notice what he said to them. In verse 10, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. That is a very important principle to learn. If we humble ourselves under the, if you will, in the sight of the Lord, there is a promise that the Lord will lift up those that are humbling themselves under the hand of the Lord, in the sight of the Lord. There is a promise. We have been singing that song earlier. Hashpilu atzmechem lifnei Adonai. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. That we sang it in Hebrew and in English. There is a promise that if we humble ourselves, God will lift us up. That is an important principle to learn. This is one lesson that we learn here in this chapter. And then one more verse found in 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 5 and 6. Again, I want to mention that Peter, just like James, he wrote to early believers, Jewish believers of first century. And Peter wrote to them in verse 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself to the elder. Yet all of you be subject one to another. And then he said, be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and He giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. This is a principle that the Bible is teaching us, and we see it, dear brothers and sisters, we see it throughout the history of mankind. In fact, the sin that have entered into this world was a sin of pride. If you remember when Satan, we call him Lucifer, when he was as a great angel that God had created and made him to serve him, he said he wanted to be like the Most High. And he elevated himself. He says, I will be, you read it in Isaiah 14, you read it in Ezekiel 28, I will be like the Most High. And he pride himself. And God had to cast him down. And eventually, if you will, he was the one that came in the Garden of Eden. The Gan Eden, he came to Adam and Eve. And he tempted Eve. And he said, Has God really said? And it was in the Garden of Eden. It was there when Adam had plunged the whole human race into sin. When he took of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, God, you have given me everything except this tree, the fruit from that tree. I want to eat from it, really. He took of it and he plunged the whole human race into sin. And so the lesson that we learn from Daniel chapter 4 is that God is going to, if you will, to deal with the pride of men in every generation. And so you and I will have to learn that in the same way, just like Nebuchadnezzar, just like James wrote, and just like Peter wrote to these particular believers in early centuries.